Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Numbers aren't everything. But for those who enjoy numbers, I thought I'd begin today by giving you some statistics from the 2020 confirmation season. So we started the year with 19 young people. We concluded it with 21, 22 if you include me, 23 if you include Vicar Joseph, 24, 5 or 6 if you include a few willing helpers who came along each week, and we were appreciative of them. We had about 35 sessions over about 40 weeks, 8 of those on Zoom with varying degrees of success. I won't tell you some of the language they used to describe those sessions, but they went okay, I thought. We had 4 nights where we got the parents along, 3 where we got the mentors involved, and for some reason more nights involving chips, cold chips, hot chips, chips in bowls, chips on plates than I care to mention. If it hadn't been for COVID, these guys would have eaten their way through the entire course, I think. Now, of our 21 young people being confirmed today over our 2 services, we have 5 different schools represented, 4 different congregations, and 7 of them receiving their first communion. 5 in this service, I think. Over the 35 sessions, we covered the 6 main parts of the Catechism, 10 commandments, 3 sections of the Creed, 7 petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and looked up over 100 Bible passages. We had 1 Bible song that was usually sung by at least 1 or 2 of you each week, which was nice, and 1 or 2 of you who memorized all 39 books of the Old Testament and all 27 books of the New in order to win a box of chocolates. So well done to those 2. We had 1 pandemic, 2 lockdowns, many, many changes of plans, including in the lead up to today's services. We currently have, as you're aware, a 100-person limit at worship services. For us, there's 64 that can fit in here and 42 out there. And we'll have 1 very proud but very relieved pastor when this is all over. And friends, most importantly, we have 1 God. 3 persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who's been present with us the whole way and is present with you guys today as you come here to make your confession of Christian faith. Paul writes, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus." Paul always begins his letters with thanksgiving. And so today I want to express my thanks for you, for our confirmees, for your confirmation of faith, and for God's faithfulness to you as well. We'll go to our next slide. We should always begin with thanksgiving. We should always begin with thanksgiving. Our days, our prayers, our interactions, whatever it is, we should always begin with thanksgiving because thanksgiving gives us a perspective on things that nothing else does. When we're able to recount, to think about, and to express the good things we have from God. Now, Paul does this with the Corinthians. And if you know anything about the Corinthians, this is really saying something. The Corinthians were a rabble. I mean, sometimes I thought you guys were a rabble, but you got nothing on the Corinthians, right? This congregation of Christian people were divided and they were arguing constantly and they were proud and puffed up and judgmental and they had pretty much every problem in the book. They were a rabble. And how does St. Paul begin his letter to them? "I always give thanks for you. I always give thanks for you." You see, Paul was thankful. He was appreciative of these people. Not because they were perfect, they were far from perfect, but because of God's grace given to them in Christ Jesus. Young people, I'm very thankful for you. I'm thankful for you today, and it's not just me who's thankful for you. I imagine most people sitting behind you are thankful for you as well. That's why they're here. And if we had have let them be, there would have been another 400 of them who would have come along as well. That's how thankful your friends and family and relatives are for you. And it's not because you're perfect and it's not because you always get everything right. For us as Christians, it's because of the grace of God given to us in Christ that was given to you first in your baptism, and it's been growing in you ever since, growing in your lives. And so we thank God for that, and we thank God for who he has made you, his children, forgiven, loved, blessed, gifted, I thank God for you. Now, like the Corinthians, God has blessed you with many gifts and he's blessed you in different ways. And I was reflecting on this a bit in the last couple of days, how he's blessed each one of you. And I thought of Beth, and I thought Beth's smart, and I thought of Mitch, and I thought Mitch is very caring. And I thought Jess is very considered and considerate. And I thought Damon has a very strong faith, a firm faith. And I thought about Eli, and I thought he's very earnest. And Holly, she's very thoughtful and very bold. And Amelia's mature, and Billy's inquisitive, and Ryan's sincere, and Hannah's persistent. And guys, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I could go on. If we had time, I could get everyone behind you to say what they like about you as well. I won't do that. God has blessed you. He's blessed you so richly. Maybe you don't always see it. Maybe you're not that aware of it. That's okay. But he's blessed and enriched you. And I'm thankful because of that. And I'm thankful for you. And I'm not the only one. So today we're thankful for you. Secondly, we're thankful for your confirmation. That is, we're thankful that you are here today to confirm the faith of your baptism, to give it voice, to give it expression. Now, Jesus says, when you acknowledge me, I acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. That's no small promise. And Paul says, when you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That too is no small promise. Your faith, my friends, is a very precious thing, a very dear thing. And you are growing up in a culture that is losing its faith, losing its Christian center, losing what it once held very dear. And you're growing up with that reality, and you're growing up with those ramifications, and you're growing up in a world that thinks that the answer to everything is either deep inside you, you just got to look hard enough, or it's deep inside some kind of electronic device, right? Those are the people, places people go for answers, aren't they? Christianity says you're not going to find all the answers you need in either of those places. Instead, when we look deep into the person of Jesus Christ and deep into the grace of God and deep into what he did for us on the cross, deep into the story of Christmas and Easter, that's where we start to find answers and hope and guidance for our lives. So I'd encourage you to keep doing that. I mean, the name of Jesus, do you know how many times the name of Jesus comes up in the reading that Joseph read for us? 6 times in 7 verses. Do you know how many times your names come up? 0. Unless it's Paul, and then once. The name of Christ. I mean, all Paul wants to do for these Corinthians is show them, firstly, that he's very, very grateful for them, very, very thankful for them. And secondly, if they're going to continue to grow in the grace and love and mercy of God, they're going to need to be connected to Christ and look deeply into Christ and ponder Christ and trust in Christ and connect their lives to his. And so it's a special thing to be able to do, to get the opportunity to do this day. Paul writes, for in him you've been enriched in every way, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Your faith in him confirms his grace to you. And we're all witnesses of that fact. Then Paul says, he will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not perfect. No one thinks you're perfect. But blameless. You become blameless by being forgiven, being redeemed, being restored by God. You know how most people approach sin in their lives? They kind of just carry it with them. And it accumulates. And the older they get, the harder it is to carry it. And the more it comes, the more they have to deal with the guilt and the shame and the remorse and all that stuff that comes with it. Paul says, I don't want that for you. I don't want that for you. I want a place you can go to know that you are forgiven as many times as you need it. A place you can go to be redeemed, to be restored as many times as you need it. So those things, guilt, shame, remorse, they don't have to be defining factors in your life at all. It's not just what Paul wants for you, it's what God wants for you. And again, that's no small promise that he will keep you firm in that faith until the end. So I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your confirmation. And finally, I'm thankful that even when we forget to be thankful, and are not faithful in the way we should, that God remains faithful to us. That's Paul's last word in this text. God is faithful. He who has called you into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, God is faithful. Young friends, you might waver in your faith. Most people do. You might drift a little bit away and back and in and out, and most people do. Paul's message in 1 Corinthians is that God remains faithful, that he doesn't drift, that he never wavers, that he is constant and steadfast and strong, and even when we forget how much losing him means and how much we lose or how much gaining him gains us, he never forgets that. And so he always hangs in there with us, even when we're not so sure we want to hang in there with him. Young friends, he has called you into the fellowship of his Son, which is the fellowship of his church, and fellowship means sharing, participating, being part of something. It's the same word used for sharing in Holy Communion, which five of you are going to do today for the first time. That's a fellowship, it's a participation, it's a sharing, it's a joining. It's a beautiful thing. And it's something that can strengthen you, not just today, but throughout your whole life of faith. So I encourage you to let it and receive it, to remember that you're never too old for it, never too wise for it, never too smart for it, never too grey for it, like your parents are, or whoever. You're never too worthy for it, you're never too unworthy for it. It is the gift of God to you, the body and blood of Christ for you. So I encourage you to make it a centre of your faith and of your life. Young friends, numbers aren't everything. And I've had a lot of people come to me this year and say, wow, 21 young people. But numbers aren't everything. If you remember one thing from today and one thing from your confirmation course, I want it to be this number, one. The number one. Paul says there is one body and there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That means he is over you and he is through you and he is in you. And that again, my friends, is no small promise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your presence and the presence of these young people today, and we pray that you would guide them, strengthen them, embolden them to give their confession of faith, not just today, but every day throughout their lives, and that they would continually draw on your grace and your mercy and your peace and walk with you every day of their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.